Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
3 o'clock, in case you missed it, we talked about this in hour number one of the show. And if you missed it, go back and listen to the Mason and Ireland podcast. You can do it on the ESPN LA app. John, the weekend with my four fraternity brothers, Paul, Ben, Pert, and Brendan, couldn't have been more fun. It was a weekend long drunk fest, stone fest.
When you first explained to me that you were gathering with people that had not been in the same room in 35 years, I was predicting disaster.
Yeah, Juan thought it was going to be a disaster. It turned out great. And the one thing I learned more than anything else is that I was sitting at a dinner table at C&O Trattoria, one of my favorite places.
Oh, but do they still sing Amore?
No, you know what? They closed the one by the beach, and now there's one closer to Lincoln, and they don't do the Amore.
They got great bread there.
Yeah, oh, they're balls.
Garlic knots?
Yeah, they're delicious.
They used
to sing Amore at the top of every hour, the old Dean Martin song.
So, sitting there, and I looked around the table, and I was like, you guys are exactly the same as you were in college. Like, you turned out to be kind of what I thought you were always going to be. You are still you. Like, nobody really changed. And I wonder if that's true for everybody. Well, I mean, I changed, but I was still the me in the group. I still fit into the group in that way. Yeah, I did change. But everybody was totally exactly like they were. And we had a great time. We had a great time.
Good. I'm glad that
I wonder if we'll see each other again. I asked that question.
Maybe not all together.
Correct.
Like, I'm on a text chain with 7 or 8 of my best high school friends.
Right.
And I'm on a different text chain with, like, my work friends. I still stay in touch with everybody, but I don't think we'll all be in the same room again.
Yeah, it's going to be it will be unlikely. That will be kind of a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
I told the story the other day while you were gone, but my grandfather said to me at my high school graduation, I wasn't all that excited to graduate from high school. I figured I really hadn't accomplished anything, and I wanted to get to college. And I was like, well, let me just get through this.
Right.
And I think he sensed it, and he walked up to me, and he goes, hey, I want you to do something. I go, what? He goes, take a look around. I'm like looking around my high school graduation. He goes, 80% of these people you'll never see again.
Yeah, it's true.
And I went, what are you talking about? I went to elementary school. I see these kids at the beach. I'm going to see them tomorrow. And he was right.
Yeah.
They were just never in the same room again. So I'm glad you guys did that.
So my goal at high school graduation, when they would introduce you, they would list all of your awards and accomplishments and scholarships. And my goal is to have the longest introduction of anybody.
Did you?
I was close. Damn you, Sean Cullen. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, Sean Cullen got the longest intro. I got, like, winner of the Nicest Guy Award and winner of the National Honor Society Scholarship and winner of the blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. And then Sean Cullen just blew me out of the water. Which reminds me, you know what's weird about Bowling Green? They've never invited me back to, like, speak to the communication school or do like a seminar.
Aren't you in the Bowling Green Hall of Fame?
I am in the Bowling Green Hall of Fame, but they've never invited me back.
Yeah, you probably need to be a little bigger name.
Oh, come on. I've got to be.
A little bigger name.
I'm going to actually send a note to somebody asking them to ask me
hire
to go back there and speak.
Have things to say.
And another thing, they're handing out honorary degrees like they're going out of style, like Taylor Swift got one last week at NYU.
Yeah.
Why don't we have honorary doctorates?
Yeah, somebody should give us one.
Somebody should give us one.
For something.
Come on, Cal State Northridge.
All right. You know, I wouldn't.
I want Cal State Northridge.
Oh, you can get one of those on the bottom.
Oh, come on. No, I want an honorary doctorate from Cal State Northridge. And by the way, after that,
Cal State Northridge graduated Dave Singer and A. Martinez.
You will have to call me Dr. Steve Mason if I get my honorary degree.
Yeah,
you can get one from Pierce College.
Can I get one?
Probably.
Honorary doctorate?
Honorary doctorate.
I think only 2 years.
Yeah. Phoenix University?
Doctor of what? What would your doctorate be?
I'd be a doctorate of pop culture.
One day, there will be that.
I know,
one day there will be that.
There will be.
Okay, so did you see this fight over the weekend between the Yankees and the White Sox?
Yeah, I saw it.
So what started it is kind of weird. And it we have breaking news on how it just changed. But anyway, so Tim Anderson is the shortstop for the White Sox.
Yep.
He's one of the few black players in baseball. Mookie Betts is another one that is having great success, and he would love to see more black kids play baseball.
Yes.
So he did an interview with Sports Illustrated in 2019 in which he said, in a lot of ways, I'd like to be the next Jackie Robinson, somebody that shows black kids that baseball is for them.
Yes.
And that they can be a part of the sport. So Anderson's pretty popular, and he's a pretty good player.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's a good player.
And over the weekend, Josh Donaldson of the Yankees runs by him out in the field and says, "What's up, Jackie?" And calls him Jackie Robinson. Here's the weird thing. They're not friends. Anderson and Donaldson don't know each other. So then Donaldson comes back out later in the game, and he does it again.
Yeah.
And it starts a fight. Now,
This is what Anderson said.
It's a little hard to follow, but here's what Anderson told reporters after the game.
Yeah, he just made a, you know, disrespectful comment. You know, basically was, you know, trying to call me Jackie Robinson. Like, what's up, Jackie? You know, I don't play like that. You know, and I don't really play at all. You know, I wasn't really, you know, bothering nobody today. But, you know, he made a comment, and, you know, it was disrespectful. And I don't think it was called for. It was unnecessary.
That was when you guys crossed past the shortstop there at the end of the third?
Yeah, but that happened in the first. The first time he got on, you know, and I spared him that time. And then it happened again. And, you know, it was just, you know, just uncalled for. You know, it's not, you know, I got time to, you know, be playing like that.
How did you manage to contain yourself based on that kind of comment?
You know, I don't know, to be honest. You know, I don't know, to be honest. You know, it was very disrespectful, you know. You don't want to play like that.
You called it disrespectful. Tony just said it was racist. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Same. Along that same line, yeah.
Can you say what he said?
You said what?
Can you say what he said?
I just said it.
Okay, so that's Anderson.
Let me just mention, Tim Anderson batting .359 with 5 homers, 18 RBI, 7 stolen bases, and a .917 OPS. He is a dynamic player.
He's their best player.
Yeah.
And so then Donaldson, reporters went over to Donaldson, and they said, hey, a lot of people think what you said to him was racist. And here's what Donaldson said.
All right, so first inning I called him Jackie. So let me give you a little context of that. 2019, he came out with an interview, said that he's a new Jackie Robinson of baseball. He's going to bring back fun for the game, right? And 2019, when I played for Atlanta, we actually joked about that on the game. I don't know what's changed from, and I've said it to him in years past, not in any manner than just joking around for the fact that he called himself Jackie Robinson, you know. You know, if something has changed from that, like my meaning of that is not any term trying to be racist by any fact of the matter. It was just off of an interview that what he called himself. And when we said that before, we joked about it, he laughed, whatever. As you could tell in our series that we played, there's been multiple times where I've tried to defuse the situation. Like, I took responsibility for the tag, wasn't trying to do anything there. Like, today, just trying to defuse it. Like, hey, like, make light. Like, hey, we're not trying to start any brawls or anything like that. Obviously, he deemed that it was disrespectful. And, look, if he did, I apologize. Like, that's not what I was trying to do by any manner. And, you know, that's what happened.
All right, so there's a lot there to unpack.
Yeah.
But here's what didn't work for me from Donaldson. They're not friends. They're not in it. This would be the equivalent of you doing an interview and saying, and somebody asking you a question like, hey, it's not too often we have a gay radio sports talk show host. And in a lot of ways, you're breaking ground here. You're like Ellen DeGeneres. You're going to make it so it's not a thing. They're just going to talk about the show and not you.
Right.
And you said, yeah, that, you know, I that's a compliment. But, yeah, I would like to have everybody talk about me, just talk about the show.
Yeah.
And I'm not a gay sports talk show host. I'm just a talk show host.
Yes.
And then the next time you and I are out in public, some guy comes up to you and goes, "What's up, Ellen?"
Yeah.
Who doesn't know you?
Yeah.
And then he does it again.
Right.
It's not cool, and I don't understand. Donaldson has played on 5 or 6 teams in the last 5 or 6 years, and obviously he's got some type of an issue with Anderson. And I just think this is a really weird way of expressing it. What do you think?
I think it is completely inappropriate. Anything less than a welcoming attitude for every black player is unacceptable.
Especially on the term of blackness. Okay,
yes,
like you don't have to be best buddies with anybody, but if you're going to comment on the guy talking about how he wants more black kids to play baseball, you're going to say, "What's up, Jackie?"
Right.
I mean, it's just weird.
And in the interview, he doesn't say, "I'm the new Jackie Robinson," which is what Josh Donaldson said. He says, "I hope to do what Jackie Robinson was able to do and to create a more welcoming environment for black athletes." I think this is really inappropriate. And Keyshawn, by the way, responded to that whole thing this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Too many white people think they can say things that blacks use or blacks may say. You cannot. I don't know how many times we go over this. You can't just freely say things because you think it's cool or you read it or you saw it or you heard it in a rap song. That's going to create problems, no matter what anyone says. And he clearly didn't appreciate being called Jackie, because we all know what Jackie Robinson stood for when he integrated baseball in 1947. And so I don't know this dude, Josh Donaldson's history, but he obviously has some sort of bad history because everybody's speaking about it.
All right, so Major League Baseball has come out in the last half an hour. And they have suspended Josh Donaldson for one game based on his comments to Tim Anderson. And I don't blame him.
I don't think
it's a weird thing to go unchecked.
Yeah, it is a weird thing. Is it racist?
Well, I think it's based in race, and I just think that it is. Here's what MLB came out and said in a statement. A guy named Michael Hill, who's their vice president of on-field operations. "There is no dispute over what was said on the field. Regardless of his intent, the comment he directed was disrespectful and in poor judgment, particularly when viewed in the context of their prior interactions. His remark was also a contributing factor in a bench-clearing incident between the teams and warrants discipline." Stop short of reading that whole thing for you, Greg. The thing is, I just don't think you can let Donaldson go unchecked.
I'm glad they.
By the way, the White Sox don't think it was enough. The White Sox are calling.
Oh, is that right?
They should have gotten more.
Yeah,
yeah, and so it was kind of weird, but baseball decided to deal with it today, and they suspended Josh Donaldson for one game.
Yep. So there you have that. That story just broke today and broke a little while ago. Suspension for Josh Donaldson. Okay. Coming up next, we got a really big Broadway star who's a fan of the show, John. Have you heard about this?
Well, if it's Broadway, I'm in.
Yep, big Broadway star, fan of Mason and Ireland.
There's no business like show business.
Plus, coming up next for you, the Dodgers made a very interesting signing that you questioned but makes perfect sense to me.
Okay.
We'll do that coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, people.
Hey, reminder, the Mason and Ireland Poker Invitational is back. Commerce Casino and Hotel, woo-hoo! Saturday, June 11th. Here's what you need to do. Text POKER to 40705 for a chance to win a free seat in our tournament. The prize pool starts at $2,500. Both Mason and I have bounties on our heads. You can knock us out. You get paid. Don't forget, text POKER to 40705 or we're going to do lie of the day in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, have you lied?
I have lied.
Oh.
Anybody think they got it? I don't see anybody.
Do you think you
have
the lie of the day? The lie of the day.
I have a thought. I have a thought.
Okay, so lie of the day coming up in 15 minutes. If you win that, you get a seat at my table at the poker tournament. That's coming up in 15 minutes. Now, who's the Broadway star?
Okay, well, Bergman just told me about this. So we have been playing this clip because Charles Lee is an assistant with the Milwaukee Bucks, and he was originally on one of the Lakers. I think they interviewed him. So Bergman found this thing from Hamilton.
Instead of me, he promotes Charles Lee, makes him second in command.
I'm a general. Whee!
Yeah.
So we started playing just this in honor of Charles Lee.
I'm a general. Whee!
It's such a great drop.
Right. It's so good.
Which is directly from Hamilton.
Yes. So somebody from Hamilton has reached out, right, Bergman?
Yeah. So Donald Weber Jr., who plays Aaron Burr.
Mm-hmm. That's a big part.
Yeah, it's a very big part. He tweeted at the three of us, and he said, I'm very sad to know the Charles Lee bit is now gone. Sorry for your loss, Mace. And added, I heard it, and thanks Jorge Briones, too, but even though it was the wrong tag. But that's pretty cool, right?
That is cool.
He's
got a
listening.
Broadway star.
We're talking about his show.
Yep. I'm a general.
Very nice. So, Donald
by the way,
Weber
I've
Jr.
decided what is the name of the woman who was in Hamilton and then won an Oscar for West Side Story?
Ariana DeBose.
I've decided that person might be the most talented person I've ever seen.
She's amazing.
I had never seen West Side Story, and now it's running on HBO. I mean, she just oozes charisma.
Did you like West Side Story?
Yeah, a little long for me. I was doing other stuff while I was watching it, but I loved her.
Yeah.
I can see why she won an Oscar. I thought she steals every scene.
Oh, she does.
I thought she was great on SNL.
She was great on SNL.
You know, she hosted SNL. By the way, did you see what happened to SNL this weekend?
Yeah.
All super talented people all out.
Yeah, let's see.
Kate McKinnon. A.D. Bryant.
She's so funny.
Kyle Moody and Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson.
And I'm hearing, you and I have friends, people back there. I'm hearing the they're not done making changes.
Oh, is that right? There's more?
There's more coming. But those four did their last show. Natasha Lyonne hosted Saturday
Night.
She
was great, too.
Season finale. And now, but Kate McKinnon has probably been the lead person on SNL ever since Kristen Wiig left.
7 or 8 years.
Yeah, and so she's going to move on and do other stuff.
She's in the SNL Hall of Fame, Kate McKinnon.
Oh, sure. And I'm not, you know, it's... Boy, it's really
hard to put her in a class with, like,
and
Bill,
Pete Davidson
Bill
was quirky.
Murray.
Kyle Meade was a bit player, but A.D. Bryant had a really good run.
A.D. Bryant has got a new show on Peacock. So does Pete Davidson.
Okay, so there you go.
Produced by Lorne Michaels.
And plus, Pete's dating Kim Kardashian. That's
correct.
A full-time job.
And that now seems like it might be a serious, real thing.
Oh, it is. You know how we know?
The kids are tattooed on his chest.
And my girl is a lawyer tattooed on his chest.
Oh, did he have my girl is a lawyer?
Yeah.
Because she passed. Now, I only know secondhand because I haven't watched the Kardashians on Hulu lately.
What?
Lately.
It's that outrage.
But apparently she passed what's called the baby bar.
Good
for her.
Which
is the mini bar exam that leads up to the big bar exam.
If I need an attorney, she's my gal.
That's who you're going with.
Of course. Kim Kardashian.
So the Dodgers had an interesting situation. Blake Treinen, who is among the best setup guys in baseball, throws a really heavy slider, has been really valuable to them the last couple of years. He is lost. For some part of this, it could be the whole season.
Right. Looks like it might be the whole season.
Not ruled out for the year, but looks like it potentially is the rest of the season. And the Dodgers did something interesting. They signed him to a 2-year contract.
Right. And what I wondered about it is a lot of guys have broken down this year. Andrew Heaney's broken down. Mitch White's broken down. Urias has been hurt. Kershaw's now on the DL.
Yep.
Or the IL, as they're calling it. The first thing that popped into my head when I read this story about Blake Treinen was Brandon McCarthy. Remember, they signed him, and he couldn't get healthy.
Right.
Why sign a guy to a 2-year extension who you know may never come back and pitch?
Okay, so we don't know what they paid him, right?
Right. And apparently there are injury clauses built into the deal.
And there's kind of a, it's almost like you're, it's a placeholder. It's a holding fee. Like, we're going to keep you for when you're healthy again. Now, that's not unlike what they did with Brandon Morrow.
Yep.
Brandon Morrow. They signed up when he was injured, thinking he's going to come back at some point and be valuable for us. They did it with Tommy, and I never get his name right.
Canley.
Tommy Canley. Tommy Canley was a broken down pitcher from the Yankees. The Dodgers signed him before last season. He rehabbed under the Dodgers, and now he's a really valuable bullpen arm. So I understand what the Dodgers are doing. They're playing the long game, right? They've got the opportunity, they've got the resources to be able to sign somebody to essentially a holding fee, saying, when you're healthy, we're going to go back to you. Even if that's not this year, you're still going to be a Dodger. To me, it makes perfect sense.
But why not wait to see how his health goes?
If you've got resources, why wait? In other words, if you love the way the guy throws, and he is,
the answer
when,
to your question,
when healthy, probably the effective tight arm you've got for the middle innings.
The answer to why wait is his health. You don't know if he can pitch.
Right.
Nobody else is going to sign him when he can't pitch.
But they've done this successfully with multiple guys now. They've done it successfully. Brandon Morrow, Tommy Canley. I mean, these guys, the Dodgers have the luxury of being able to sign players who aren't necessarily going to contribute right away. And if there was one guy to do it for, I mean, I hope he's healthy for the playoffs, but if you've got two on and two out in the seventh inning and you need to get an out, there's nobody I'd rather have on the mound than Blake Treinen.
Yeah, I just wonder, why not wait till he gets healthy, Bergman, and then sign him?
You get it?
Yes, no, I totally get it. It's exactly what you're saying. It's the same thing that they're doing with Tommy Canley, and they have a guy named Dellin Betances who's injured right now
also
in the minor league season.
Also a former Yankee, yeah.
Former Yankee that was an incredible pitcher, was with the Mets for a little bit. This is what they do. The contract could end up to be $1 million. So wouldn't you pay $1 million to just see, you know, maybe he comes back next year and he's fantastic?
Yeah.
And if he doesn't come back, you spent $1 million.
Well, and the other thing is, and I said this earlier in the show, Andrew Friedman almost always gets this stuff right.
Yep.
You know, it's just every time there's a weird signing that I don't completely understand on its face, I just think, well, if Friedman's behind this, he knows what he's doing.
By the way, you know, you mentioned Julio Urías, and, you know, Julio Urías has started 8 games. He's 3-3. He's got a 2.63 ERA and a .05 whip. He's been really good. Walker Buehler, 2.89 ERA, .22 whip. And Tony Gonsolin has been their best starting pitcher.
Right. But you don't want to go into the – if you go into the playoffs, Buehler starts game one. I guess you could start
Urías
in game two, even though he's
big starting. Game pitcher, too.
Yeah, he's starting a little bit. And then hopefully by then you have Kershaw back, too.
Yeah,
but Urías isn't really struggling, per se. He had a couple bad starts early in the season, but he's been really, really good.
He's been good since, yeah. And Buehler, after a slow start, has been really good.
He's still having some trouble with his fastball, but he'll get there.
Yeah. I mean, they are thinner at starting pitcher. Last year, remember we talked about, well, we've got 8 guys, and then this guy will step in, and if we need to, we'll go to this guy. And we had so much. We don't have a lot of depth in the rotation now. I mean, Urías, Buehler, and Gonsolin have been the only guys that showed up for 8 starts. Kershaw started 5 times. He's hurt. Heaney only started twice, and he's hurt. What's the word on Heaney?
So Heaney had a bullpen session today, and he needed to have one more bullpen session before he could start throwing to live hitters. So he should be back in the next couple.
He went 10 innings without allowing a run. So he was off to a great start. Mitchell White has been a disaster. Is he not healthy now? He's not healthy.
Well, he just pitched. He started the game, and the bullpen game, was that Saturday?
Saturday, yeah. So, yeah, they're just really thin in the starting rotation. But I do understand what they're doing with signing Blake Treinen when they can. And it'll be interesting to see if Dellin Betances does come up. Because that essentially one of the dominant Yankee bullpens was Dellin Betances and Tommy Canley. The Dodgers could wind up with both of them.
Boy, you talk about signings and mistakes. Can you believe the Yankees didn't get a deal done with Aaron Judge before the season? And now it looks like he's going to win MVP, and they're going to have to pay him Mike Trout money.
Or won't pay him.
Right.
Or won't pay him.
Yeah. But he's such a – I mean, he's perfect for that ballpark. He's perfect for that team. And they're winning. I can't imagine them letting him walk. It just – the Yankees don't have financial problems. They just, you know, they should have got a deal done. Now they're going to pay twice as much.
Yeah. Aaron Judge, if he's currently on a pace for, 135 runs, 32 doubles, 63 homers, 135 RBIs, 185 hits, 68 walks.
I mean, come on.
And
in Yankee Stadium for the biggest brand.
692 slugging percentage.
Yeah, for the biggest brand in baseball. So it's, yeah, they blew it. And you know,
who's his agent?
I don't know, but he bet on himself.
Yeah.
You know, so good for him.
And I think that's what Trey Turner's going to do, too.
Right.
He's going to take it to the market.
So, you know, 20 years ago today.
Yep.
Sean Green in a game.
By the way, Donald Weber Jr. just tweets, all caps, that just happened. L.A. 710 all day.
Good for him.
Yes.
Sean
Great
Green,
performer.
19 total bases in one game.
Wow.
Major league record.
Yep.
Think anybody ever breaks? He had four home runs.
What's interesting is four home runs has happened
like 25 times.
Not even.
And five has never happened.
Yeah, not five has never happened, but four. I was there for a four home run game is more rare than a perfect game.
Right.
I was there for one 4 home run game. I saw it in person was J.D. Martinez for the Diamondbacks.
Hit 4 in one game.
Hit 4 in one game at Dodger Stadium. And we were losing badly, but I wanted to stay to see if he could beat the record. I think aside from the starting pitching, I think we're fine. I feel good about it. The Padres are better than I thought they were going to be. I think that at the very last minute, they acquired Sean Manaea, who has been great for them. So starting
and they're doing all this without Tatis,
without Fernando Tatis Jr. Yeah. So I think they're probably the team now that is going to try to unseat us. I guess we technically weren't seated last year, right?
Right. Giants won it.
Giants.
But the Giants are slipping and the Padres are coming up.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. All right. Coming up next for you, lie of the day. So at some point today, Ireland told a lie, and I'm trying to remember exactly what it was.
Jorge, they took the paper again.
No way.
It's gone.
The whole packet.
No paper in here. What do we have to do to get scrap paper in here?
There's scrap paper in here. We'll get you some.
Kay. Oh, wait.
There.
Found some.
Found some. All right, so if you know the lie of the day, at some point Ireland has told a lie, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. You can win a seat at John Ireland's table for the Mason and Ireland Poker Invitational at Commerce Casino on June the 11th. If you know John Ireland's lie of the day, we will do that coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
God, I almost have it. Like, it's in my head. I know exactly where it was in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Jorge, do you think you know?
I think so.
Do you?
I think
Bergman,
so.
Bergman, you think you know?
Yep, I think I got it.
Text it to John. See if it's right. Okay. All right, 877-710-ESPN. Win a seat at John Ireland's table at the Mason and Ireland Poker Invitational, June 11 at Commerce Casino. Ireland is told a lie.
Yeah, now bring up three people, and if no one gets it, I'll give a hint.
Okay, let's start with caller number 7, as we always do. Eric in Norwalk. Eric, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey,
Eric. Eric, you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Got you.
Eric, what's the lie of the day?
I'm going to say that you believe in witches.
No, I'm sorry. I do believe in witches. Dated a few in college, but thank you.
Dated a few in college. Let's go to line 8. That is Craig in Tustin. Hey, Craig, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on?
Everything's great.
I think it's the Jim Hill and Nike.
No, that's a good guess. But Jim Hill ran out and asked who has space under their limit. And so he could buy more gifts for his friends. Good guess, but incorrect. All right, take one more, and I'll give a hint. By the way, both Bergman and Jorge, who had separate guesses, both missed it.
Wrong. Both missed it. Okay.
Wrong.
Let's go to line 9, Patrick in L.A. Hey, Patrick, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, the kick of all me.
Yeah, amen, brother.
All right, Patrick, what's the lie of the day, man?
All right, man. Many times I get it right, but I'm going to guess that John actually has bungee jumped.
I have not bungee jumped. The late, great Dick Tuniga, who was my news director who passed away a few years ago, said, nope, we don't have the insurance. You're screwed. No, you still don't have it. Jorge had another guess.
Trying again. Okay.
All right, I'll give a hint.
Yeah, give a hint.
Okay. My lie has to do with an award. That's the hint.
Okay. With an award.
I don't remember talking about
it. I don't either.
Award.
Okay.
I'm going to write it down for Mace, and then you can help me give
a better clue?
Yeah. Maybe a more.
An award?
An award. I'm trying to remember. What award did you
We've talked about so much stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
There it is.
Hard
or no?
It's hard.
Okay. Should I give a better hint?
No, let's try award for a minute.
Okay.
Let's go to Josh.
What should you do with an award?
Josh in Woodland Hills. Hey, Josh, you're on 710.
I can't believe I'm on with you guys. This is so cool. You did not have a friend with an Academy Award, his dad.
Boom! I actually do have a friend, Josh. But my friend Tom Sturgis's father, Preston Sturgis, legendary director, has an Oscar. Tom has it at his house, but I have never, ever, I didn't have the heart to pick it up. I have never held an Oscar in my hand.
Wow.
Josh, that is a huge pull. Nobody in the studio
got it. Nobody got it.
I heard. I listened to you guys all day long at work.
Thanks, Josh.
Hey, now you're in the poker tournament, man. We get to meet you on June 11th. Thanks for playing.
That is so neat. Thank you.
Okay, hey, Josh, I'm going to put you on hold, and Bergman's going to get some info, okay?
Thank you.
All right, man.
That was tough.
Yeah, but he got it. Fourth guy.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, we'll do Lie of the Day all this week.
Have you ever held an Oscar?
Yes.
I thought you said you
have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I dated an Oscar winner.
Hey.
Can't say who.
Well, maybe that could be a lie of the day on another day.
That's not a lie. That's for real.
Well, you could lie about who it was.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I could lie
about
who it was. But.
By the way, Bergman, who from the afternoon? Oh, wait. Is anybody playing from the afternoon show? Do we know?
Yeah, Cappy.
Cap's going to play?
Oh, okay. Good. I like when Cappy's on the show. Cappy's like a positive spirit.
This is something that can come up in crosstalk. I don't know if Sedano is doing crosstalk today. I think he is. I actually cited, they have a promo running right now. Jorge, you can see if you can find it. This week, sometime over the last few days,
yep.
Sedano ended up at dinner with Kevin Harlan.
Yes, the great Kevin Harlan, yes.
Who is a great guy.
Yes, he is. I did the Olympics with Kevin.
Kevin, for years, has worked on football broadcast in which Scott Kaplan is his sideline guy.
Yes.
Sedano, at this dinner, never mentioned at any point that he does a radio show with Kaplan.
Mm.
Is that an oversight by Sedano and kind of mean or nothing?
I think it was deliberate and it was mean.
All right, Jorge, wait, this is the promo that's running.
Right between the eyes.
Kevin Harlan has been such an influence in my life, in my real life, and in my broadcasting life. I absolutely adore that man.
Yeah, that's funny because your name never came up.
Now, when you say my name never came up, did you not ever say to him, hey, Kev, you know that me and Kaplan work together now?
Yeah, that probably didn't happen, yeah.
Why would you not have said that? Why would you not have said that?
Well, I mean, you know, I forgot. And he did ask me about radio, and your name still didn't come.
Oh,
well, yeah,
man,
but,
what,
why, but George, you're laughing. Wait a second. Wait a second. You're laughing. What is so funny? I don't get it.
You're
saying, but
I
for
forgot.
You to say that my name didn't come up, that's your fault.
It is my fault.
Drop his name, Sedano.
Rude, Sedano. Sedano.
I agree with Cap. Now, I've kind of changed sides here because I was, while you were gone, I was defending Sedano against Bergman, who was just being an idiot.
I was right.
Bergman, Sedano is doing sidelines for the ESPN Radio Western Conference Finals.
Okay.
And he was interviewing Klay Thompson. And at some point, Sedano mentioned, this was game one or two of the playoff series with the Mavs, and Sedano mentioned to Klay, you guys are now 7-0 in the playoffs at the Chase Center.
Mm-hmm.
And Klay said, what are you bringing that up for? Are you trying to jinx us? And Greg thinks he has it. Try it, Greg. See if
you guys are 7-0 here at home. What's been the thing here? I mean, we know Oracle was great, man, but this place is rocking right now. What's going on here?
Cash, Bob, you trying to jinx us, man?
I'm not trying to jinx you. I'm telling you the facts, man. What's going on here? You're not at Oracle anymore. You're here now at Chase. How is this crowd translated?
All right, so to me, completely inbounds by Sedano. Did absolutely nothing wrong. Bergman, your side.
That he tried to jinx him. Why are you trying to say what his number, what his record is at Chase?
There
doesn't
is no
matter.
Such thing as a sideline reporter jinx.
And no,
shit,
it doesn't. It doesn't matter. At any point, it's just like if it's a free throw. You're like, oh, he's hit 35 free throws
bam,
in a row.
Miss.
They end up
what
winning.
Do you think? Sedano, inbounds or out of bounds with his question?
Well, I mean,
to
it's
Klay.
Certainly inbound. It's just not. It is a jinx.
It
I mean, there's no question.
By the way,
jinx.
They haven't lost since.
Yeah, I know. It's
they
coming.
They played one other game.
It's coming. They only played one more game there.
Yeah, I think they're going to win every
they're
game.
They're 9-0.
Every
we'll
game
find
in
out.
San
every
Francisco.
Game in San Francisco.
By the way, Sedano texted in the other day, and he said that Klay said to him, just wait. There's still a chance for you to be a jinx.
Yeah, Clay's wrong.
No. I mean,
if they lose, it will not be
I'm on
George
the side of Klay.
Sedano's
you're
going to
disagree
fault.
With Klay?
Yes. Right.
You're going to disagree
gonna
with the player that's directly
him.
Affected by this
yes.
jinx move by George
it's
Sedano?
It's not a jinx
it's
move.
It's a jinx move.
Sedano has no
total
power.
Jinx move.
Sedano, what power do you think Sedano possesses?
He's got the ability to jinx somebody.
He absolutely
jinx move.
Does not.
Jinx move.
And
you know
so
what else he's done?
I'm 1-1 with George. I side with him on the Klay Thompson interview, but I do think it was rude for him not to mention Kaplan to Kevin Hart.
You know what else he used to say when I was on that show? He would say, oh, the Lakers are boring right now. And then they went on this massive losing streak and everybody got hurt. Then he said the Dodgers were boring and then they went on a little bit of a
this
losing streak.
This is what
streak.
Sedano did?
Yeah, this is what he does. He jinxes things. So this, and even Klay Thompson said, he said, see, not a jinx. And Klay said, not yet.
I'm glad you all think he's got some magical power to jinx the Warriors, but he doesn't.
He jinxes Cap every afternoon.
Every afternoon.
Right. Every afternoon.
All right, so is Cap going to play today?
Yes.
Let's bring Cap
it's in. My game.
We need some positivity on this show, and Cappy brings that.
I think that was him in the background.
Yeah, it's my game today,
yes.
So I have a big lead, but somebody can chip away at it today.
And also joining us, by the way, Kevin Harlan. That's coming up next.
No, it's not
it's
true.
I thought we had Kevin Harlan coming on.
Great guy.
To make it up to Cappy. Game of Games is next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. And ladies and gentlemen, joining us right now from the Cappy and George show is Cappy. What's going on, man?
The love boat.
Cap, how was your weekend?
Oh, man, it was really, really good. I had a daughter go to a prom. So an 18-year-old about to graduate from high school. A lot of prom activities this weekend.
Did they
are you the type of dad that is very nice to the person taking your daughter to the prom, or do you give them a hard time?
I didn't give him a hard time because I didn't really meet the kid until like a few minutes before the party bus took off with these kids.
Right.
His name was Nate, and his mom was like, hey, we know you. I'm like, yeah, hey, how you doing? She's like, oh, your daughter's going with my son. This is Nate. I'm like, oh, Nate the date. And everybody thought that was so funny. I was like, what, nobody thought of that before right now?
So was there a corsage or a nosegay or one of those things?
A what? A nosegay?
I think that's a thing.
Nosegay?
What is a nosegay?
It's a corsage you wear around your wrist.
Your nose?
Oh.
Well, why don't you call it a wrist corsage?
Oh, nosegay bouquet.
Nosegay bouquet.
I've never heard that term.
He's still undefeated, Mason.
It's unbelievable.
Winner!
I thought that
nosegay
was,
is a homegrown word.
Someone called you
nosegay.
I was going to defend your honor.
Yeah, I got both. I got both going on. So, so Cappy, it is Ireland's game today. Ireland, describe the game.
All right. Now, before you left, Mace, I assume we're still on.
Yep.
Are we all going to see Top Gun Maverick on Thursday after the show?
Thursday afternoon, yes.
Okay. So in honor of that, I have a Top Gun movie quiz about the original Top Gun.
Okay.
It's multiple choice, 10 questions. Here we go. At the beginning of Top Gun,
yes,
one of the pilots suffers an anxiety attack and ends up leaving the Top Gun Academy. The call sign of that pilot was A, Cobra, B, Cougar, or C, Charlie. Jorge, Cobra, Cougar, or Charlie?
Charlie.
Greg?
Cougar.
Mace?
Cobra.
Cap?
Cougar.
It is Cougar. Kaplan and Bergman get
the point.
Did
you know Cappy, or is that a guess?
No, I'm just guessing. I don't really know the movie that well.
Swag.
Okay. Bang, baby. All right, here we go. Bergman? What finishes this line in the movie? Son, your ego is writing checks, blank. Is it A, the Navy can't cover, B, on a negative balance, or C, your body can't cash? Your son is your ego is writing checks, blank.
Now, did you change the one of the words, or
no.
just actually says body?
It's three different words.
It's three. No, the did it say
because like, your son, butt your can't cash is what is normally is what it is.
All right. Well, I'm
so I'll go. I'll go with that one. The body can't cash.
Okay, Mace.
Body can't cash.
Cap
can't cash.
Jorge
with the crowd.
Yep. All you guys got that one. Your son, your ego is writing checks. Your body can't cash. He said that to Tom Cruise. All right. Third one.
The great Tom Skerritt, I believe, was the actor.
I thought it was the other guy. I thought it was the bald guy that would yell
at
him. The guy who played Stryker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mace, what is the name of the aircraft carrier that we see both at the beginning and the end of Top Gun?
Okay.
Is it A, the USS Enterprise, B, the USS Alabama, or C, the USS Missouri? Enterprise, Alabama, or Missouri?
Missouri.
Cap.
Missouri.
Jorge.
Missouri.
Bergman.
I want to say Alabama, but I'll go with the crowd. Missouri.
All of you missed it. It's the USS Enterprise.
Is it? Ooh, I thought that was in there as a joke.
No, totally.
Me too.
Same as Star Trek.
I thought it was a Star Trek joke.
Right. Yeah. So right now, Bergman 2, Kaplan 2, Jorge and Mace 1 each. Okay. Cap, this one's to you.
Yes, sir.
Who played Merlin in Top Gun? Hmm. Was it A, Rick Rossovich, B, Barry Tubb, or C, Tim Robbins? Rossovich, Tubb, or Robbins, Cap?
B.
You're going Tubb. Jorge?
C.
You're going Robbins.
Who was the character?
Greg. Merlin.
Oh.
Is it Rossovich, Tubb, or Robbins, Greg?
Rossovich.
Mace.
I'm also going Rossovich.
It was Tim Robbins, and Jorge is the only one who gets it. Tim Robbins, of course, then went on to get his big break playing Nuke Lelouch in Bull Durham right after.
What was the name of the character?
Merlin.
Merlin.
Was his call sign. Mm. Okay. Back to you, Jorge. Hey. What was Kelly McGillis' character's full name in that movie? Was it A, Charlie Conrad, B, Charlotte Sanders, or C, Charlotte Blackwood? A, B, or C?
A. I'll go with A.
Greg?
Let's go with B.
Mace?
Charlotte Sanders.
You're going B. Cap?
Can I have the second two one more time?
Charlotte Sanders or Charlotte Blackwood?
I'm going B, Sanders.
Should have gone Blackwood. You guys all missed it again.
Damn.
Call sign Charlie, but her name was Charlotte Blackwood in the movie. Okay, so it's still close. Jorge, Bergman, and Cap with two, Mace with one. Bergman.
Yep.
Why do they call Iceman that name? A, he's extremely mean. B, he has no friends. C, he flies ice cold.
Flies ice cold.
All right, Mace.
I'm going to say flies ice cold.
Cap.
I'm going to say he has no friends.
Jorge.
I'll go with A. He's mean.
No, he flies ice cold, and Bergman has taken a lead. Bergman has three. Everybody else has two. It's very close. Mm. All right, Mace. What body of water does the opening scene take place over? A, the Indian Ocean. B, the Mediterranean Sea. C, the Gulf of Tonkin. A, B, or C?
Indian Ocean.
Okay, Cap.
A.
Jorge.
Mediterranean Sea.
Bergman.
Let's go with the Gulf of Tonkin.
Wow, this is tight. It is the Indian Ocean. Oh, Mason and Cap both get it.
Yeah.
So
go,
now, Bergman 3, Mason 3, Kaplan 3, and Jorge 2. Anybody's game.
Jeez.
All right. What was Viper, his actual name in the movie? Viper was the character played by Tom Skerritt. Cap, was it A, Chris Carey, B, Mike Metcalf, C, Reed Rothschild, A, B, or C?
Oh, my God. Wait, give me the names one more time.
Chris Carey, Mike Metcalf, or Reed Rothschild?
I'm going to go with A.
You're going Chris Carey. Jorge.
Right. I'll go with B.
You're going Mike Metcalf. Bergman.
He just kind of looks like a Mike Metcalf.
Mace.
Yeah, I'm going to go Mike Metcalf.
Mike Metcalf is it. I'm sorry, Cap. Chris Carey's a buddy of mine, and I hope he's listening.
Wow.
But I just threw his name in there because I needed somebody who would start with two letters. Okay. Four for Bergman. Four for Mason. Three for Cap. Three for Jorge.
Wow, this is tight.
This is. I have two more and a tiebreaker if we need it.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Who Cap went first that time. Jorge, back to you.
No, I haven't gone first.
Cap, I'll go. You go first this time.
All right.
Finish this line, Cap. Tower, this is Ghost Rider requesting a flyby. Negative Ghost Rider, blank. Was it A, no runways are open, B, the pattern is full, C, the tower is active? A, B, or C, Cap?
I'm going to take a stab here and go with B.
Okay, Jorge.
I'll go with C.
Bergman.
The pattern is full.
Mace.
B, the pattern is full.
Yeah, it is the pattern is full.
It is the pattern is full. All right.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Everybody, Jorge, you're now out, but Cap has four, Bergman has five, Mason has five. This is the last question, and Cap gets to go last.
And Bergman has to go first.
Correct.
Right? Okay.
Well, we're tied. Why do I go first? Why don't you go
first? Because it's just your turn in the rotation.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Which pairing of pilot and rear officer is correct? In other words, the guy who sits in the front and the back.
Yeah.
Greg, is it A, Hollywood and Wolfman, B, Viper and Slider, C, Iceman and Merlin, A, B, or C, Bergman?
It's either A or C. What was the A one again?
Hollywood and Wolfman, Viper and Slider, Iceman and Merlin.
I'm going to go with A.
Okay, Mace.
I am going to go with Viper and Slider.
Okay, Cap.
Wait, so is there one that there's one in between, right?
Yeah, there's no one has picked Iceman and Merlin, but you can go with A, B, or C because you're one down.
Okay. Well, give me A and B again then.
Hollywood and Wolfman.
Yeah, that's
Viper and Slider, Iceman and Merlin.
I'm going C.
The correct answer is A, and Greg Bergman wins again.
Let's go! Let's go!
I think that's two in a row for you, is
that
it
is
not?
Two in a row.
You're becoming the guy who can catch. It's coming like last month. You're going to be the guy who can catch me.
By the way, on Wednesday, we go to two.
Okay. I think Wednesday, Michael's coming in.
Yeah. So that means you're going to get two.
I've got it. Ireland 5, Bergman 3. And then a bunch of people with one. Cappy,
I really thought I was going to win this game, and I actually started it off with my best poker face, given the Mason and Ireland poker event that's coming up.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't really know the movie that well, so I don't think I'm going to do very well in this game. In the meantime, behind the scenes, I'm like, oh man, I know this movie like the back of my hands. I'm going to kill everybody here.
Almost, Cap. Almost.
Yeah, you got. There were some questions in there that I was like, wow, I don't know that.
You know the movie well?
I feel like I know the movie. Well, going in, if you would have said to me on a scale of 1 to 100, how well do you know it? I would have said like 92.
Really?
But now I'm thinking I only know it like 67.5.
So why don't you come into the station on Thursday? We're all going to go see Gun Maverick after the show.
No, he can't. It's on during his show.
Oh, that's right. You can't.
We're going.
What an inconvenience that is.
Are you going to play in our poker tournament?
Yeah, when is the date on that?
June 11th, Commerce Casino.
Yeah, you'd have fun
June
if you can swing that.
June 11th is a Saturday, right?
Yeah, Saturday.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I'd like to play. Yeah,
we're expecting you. What else happened on Cappy's weekend?
Oh, man, what did happen? Oh, you guys would love this. I spent my weekend at a very small local music festival.
Okay, hang on 1 second.
All right.
I know we're like 11 seconds early, but let's go ahead and play the Super Crosstalk Stager.
No, we can't.
You can't.
No, we have to wait.
This is the whole reason, because if you play it before 4 or 3:55, we have to do it again.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So now you can play it.
So, Cappy, you were saying you went to a local music festival over the weekend. What was the festival?
It was called Fiesta del Sol. And I'll tell you guys what's cool about this is that it's been off for the last 2 years. So this is the first one that's been back since 2019.
Oh, got it.
And it's a really small local music festival.
So it's like all San Diego bands?
It's produced by a group that you guys may have heard of called the Belly Up.
Well, the Belly Up Tavern, which is in Solana Beach, Cap, was my favorite place to go when I lived in San Diego.
Well, it's my local spot, man. Yeah, it's my local watering
hole. I just think that place is fantastic. Now, that did survive the pandemic. The Belly Up Tavern is still alive and well?
In a big way. And as many people as I brought to them, I was like, hey, I got a buddy that wants to buy the place. They're like, nope, not for sale. I'm like, you guys have been closed for 2 years. They're like, nope, not for sale.
So would we know anybody that played at the music festival?
I doubt it. I didn't really know anybody, but man, I heard some bands that I really liked. And, then the last guy who's, was a reggae act named Don Carlos, who was really good. And there was like some cover bands or like, you know, tribute bands, but it was an awesome local thing. I guess what I'm getting at, guys, is your poker tournament should be so gigantic. And here's why. This is my observation. I don't think it's mine alone. I think a lot of people would agree with this, but people are dying to get out and do things.
Yes.
You know, they want to go to a ball game at Dodger Stadium. They wanted to go to Laker games. They want to go to Rams games. But when it comes to festivals and concerts and movies, like you're talking about, poker events, people just want to get out and live again, you know?
I agree. I think that's going on all over the place. Well, Sedano is here. Sedano, you've been traveling all over the place. I think people are, like, busting out to do stuff.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that's the case. I mean, I was in San Francisco, and there was plenty of people out doing stuff. And I'm in Texas, and we all know that's been the case there here for a long time. So,
Sedano, why did you not mention Cappy's name?
Now, George, we were just discussing this. I support you wholeheartedly in this ridiculous Clay Thompson jinx thing. But I cannot support you for not mentioning Cap when you had dinner with Kevin Harlan.
Well, I just forgot. Like, it was like Kevin Harlan came to dinner with us, and he showed up late compared to the rest of us. Mm-hmm. He wasn't like seated across from me. And then as we were all walking back to the hotel together, it was like a 15-minute walk. He was just asking me a bunch of questions because obviously he knows who I am. I know who he is, but we've never actually had a real conversation.
He is a
great
guy.
He's a great guy. We did the Olympics together.
He was peppering me with a ton of questions. Like, you know, I know you're from Miami, but you live in LA, and like, tell me about your wife and kids. So we're having all these discussions.
Tell me about your radio show. Tell me about your partner. Tell me about Cappy. How's Cappy been?
He brought up radio but then pivoted to something else. And then it just never came up. Because I also forgot that Cappy worked with him on Westwood One at one point. So
Cappy, you feel slighted?
Not really slighted. What I was feeling at the time was, and I explained this to George, that if George would have said to Kevin Harlan, you know, me and Scott Kaplan are now radio partners in L.A., Kevin Harlan would have looked at George and said, bring it in.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it in.
Okay. Now I did bring it up yesterday because we had dinner again yesterday, Kevin and I. Mm-hmm. And I brought it up and he said, oh, yeah, Scott's great. But there was no bring it in. It was just, yeah, Scott's great, and then
he moved on. Maybe he was a little worried that, you know, you wouldn't bring it in. I mean, maybe you gave him a vibe like you don't like to bring it in.
So all I'm saying is I did bring it up yesterday. I said I almost forgot. I wanted to tell you today because I didn't mention it the other day that – and I specifically stated it just like that because I'm assuming you probably reached out to him at some point, and he may have said that. I don't remember if he did or didn't.
All right,
but
George, you're in Dallas now, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to tell you to do something if you've never done it and you're going to think I'm being touristy and geeky. But trust me.
Okay.
If you have downtime tomorrow during the day, even if you only got an hour, go to the Sixth Floor Museum where Oswald shot the gun that killed Kennedy. It is the coolest natural history museum. I mean, you can smell.
In a big way. And as many people as I brought to them, I was like, hey, I got a buddy that wants to buy the place. They're like, nope, not for sale. I'm like, you guys have been closed for 2 years. Like, nope, not for sale.
So would we know anybody that played at the music festival?
I doubt it. I didn't really know anybody. But, man, I heard some bands that I really liked. And then the last guy who was a reggae act named Don Carlos, who was really good. You know, and there was like some cover bands or like, you know, tribute bands, but it was an awesome local thing. I guess what I'm getting at, guys, is your poker tournament should be so gigantic, and here's why. This is my observation. I don't think it's mine alone. I think a lot of people would agree with this, but people are dying to get out and do things.
Yes.
You know, they want to go to a ball game at Dodger Stadium. They wanted to go to Laker games. They want to go to Rams games. But when it comes to festivals and concerts and movies, like you're talking about, poker events, people just want to get out and live again, you know?
I agree. I think that's going on all over the place. Well, Sedano is here. Sedano, you've been traveling all over the place. I think people are, like, busting out to do stuff.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that's the case. I mean, I was in San Francisco, and there was plenty of people out doing stuff. And I'm in Texas, and we all know that's been the case there here for a long time. So,
Sedano, why did you not mention Cappy's name?
Now, George, we were just discussing this. I support you wholeheartedly in this ridiculous Clay Thompson jinx thing. But I cannot support you for not mentioning Cap when you had dinner with Kevin Harlan.
Well, I just forgot. Like, it was like Kevin Harlan came to dinner with us. And he first of all, he showed up late compared to the rest of us. Mm-hmm. He wasn't like seated across from me. And then as we were all walking back to the hotel together, it was like a 15-minute walk. He was just asking me a bunch of questions because obviously he knows who I am. I know who he is. But we've never actually had a real conversation
before. He is a great guy.
He's a great guy. We did the Olympics together.
He was peppering me with a ton of questions. Like, you know, I know you're from Miami, but you live in L.A. And, like, tell me about your wife and kids. So we were having all these discussions.
Tell me about your radio show. Tell me about your partner. Tell me about Cappy. How's Cappy been?
He brought up radio, but then pivoted to something else. And then it just never came up. Because I also forgot that Cappy worked with him on Westwood One at one point. So
Cappy, you feel slighted?
Not really slighted. What I was feeling at the time was, and I explained this to George, that if George would have said to Kevin Harlan, you know, me and Scott Kaplan are now radio partners in L.A., Kevin Harlan would have looked at George and said, bring it in.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it in.
Okay. Now I did bring it up yesterday because we had dinner again yesterday, Kevin and I. Mm-hmm. And I brought it up and he said, oh, yeah, Scott's great. But there was no bring it in. It was just, yeah, Scott's great, and then he moved on.
Well, maybe he was a little worried that, you know, you wouldn't bring it in. I mean, maybe you gave him a vibe like you don't like to bring it in.
So all I'm saying is I did bring it up yesterday. I said I almost forgot. I wanted to tell you today because I didn't mention it the other day. That, and I specifically stated it just like that because I'm assuming you probably reached out to him at some point. And he may have said that. I don't remember if you did or didn't.
All right,
but
now, George, you're in Dallas now, right?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to tell you to do something if you've never done it, and you're going to think I'm being touristy and geeky, but trust me.
Okay.
If you have downtime tomorrow during the day, even if you only got an hour, go to the 6th floor museum where Oswald shot the gun that killed Kennedy. It is the coolest natural history museum. I mean, you can sit in the window where Oswald pulled the trigger. And they've got all the news reports. You can hear Walter Cronkite. You can see what Kennedy did that day. It's a walkthrough museum. I think it costs $15. Totally worth it if you get an hour tomorrow. Trust me.
Okay. I don't know if I'll have an hour tomorrow. Maybe if I doubt the series will get extended to 6 games at this point. No. But
you can do it next year when you go
but
back.
But also kind of a downer. I got to be honest with you.
I got to say, too. It's like, I'm here for the game. Let's go see where the assassination happened.
No, right. And by the way, you can go down to the grassy knoll.
Yes.
Yeah. No way Oswald acted alone.
Oswald
those
acted alone.
Those liars on
the
Warren Commission, including Gerald Ford. Bunch
Occam's
of liars.
Razor. Yeah. The obvious answer is the right one.
So to finish my Harlan conversation, he did say, oh, that's great. Scott's great. There was no bring it in. And I am having dinner with him again tonight. Do you want me to bring it up a second time,
Kaplan? I want you to say to Kevin Harlan, this is what I want you to say to him. Kaplan tells me that now that I tell you, Kevin, that we work together, that you are immediately going to treat me as if I am family. I know
you're
going to
pick up the tab.
Right. It's only the third time we've ever been together. It's only the third time we've ever hung out together. But Kaplan says that if he and I are related, that means you and me are related. So he says that you say, bring it in.
Okay. I will bring this up at some point during the meal or perhaps after the fact. But I mean, Kevin and I are becoming BFFs now. I mean, we have three meals in a row here.
You know? Who do you think is a better friend with Harlan? Is it you or is it Cappy? How well did you know Harlan?
Well, we worked together for many, many years, traveling together for CBS and for Western.
Sounds like he didn't really light up when he heard your name.
Well, I'm going to disagree, Steve. I'm going to disagree.
I'm just telling you the truth. I mean, George described it. It just doesn't sound like Harlan was like, oh, Cappy, I love Cap.
Well, I think George is downplaying it, to be honest.
No, I'm just telling you exactly what happened. He said, oh, Scott's great. Yeah. And did you text him or not?
I have texted him and told him that we need to put him on the air.
No. Did you text him since my initial conversation?
Yes, I have.
So he did bring that up. He said, yes. Yeah, he texted me. And then he's like, wow, how about that? And I was like, yeah, we're having fun. And then he pivoted to something else.
So it sounds like he's not a huge Caplin. It sounds like this is interesting. It sounds like he played a larger role in your life than you played in his, Cappy.
I would agree with that, that he has played a larger role in my life than I've played in his. I would agree with that.
Now, Cappy, you have made this a thing for 3 days while I've been gone. I mean, good Lord.
Well, I was good with it on Friday. And,
right. No, you weren't. You weren't good with it on Friday. So,
I was good with ending it on Friday. Let me say that.
Yeah, but because I did it in a funny way. It seems like, I mean, the community, the Sedano and Cap community felt like you took offense when all I was doing was just, you know, pulling your leg a little bit by saying, yeah, you didn't come up. You weren't mentioned in it.
The Sedano and Cap community had my
How is
back.
The community? I've not heard about the community in a while.
The community is thriving.
Is it thriving? It good.
You know, I'm in the community.
I'm not. Right I haven't now. Applied.
They're very upset because the app is acting wonky.
Yeah, although I know. And if you're listening right now, the stuff is wonky today, so just bear with us.
I caught the end of Game of Games and Cap failing again, letting Bergman win the game. It sounded fine to me, so I don't know. Maybe it's...
You said it, though. I let him win the game. You said it.
There were some problems early on, but I think we fixed them, so hopefully it stays that way.
Oh, thank you, Bergie.
Just let him. Just let him win, George.
Mini boss. Great job, mini boss.
Mini boss. No, you know what we're deciding? Troopa. We're calling Bergman the general. He's now
Troopa
he's
funny.
Now the general.
I'm a general.
That's what Bergman says.
Yeah, by the way, George, what do you believe about all the Laker coaching rumors? How do you separate fact from fiction? What do you think?
Well, I was on these airwaves like a month ago or whatever it was when the season ended immediately. Who was the first name I said, Cappy?
Juwan Howard, believe it or not, I mean, listen, I hate to have to admit it when George is right about something, but in this particular instance, he brought up Juwan Howard before anybody, and most of us were like, Juwan Howard, really? And then, you know, there was a compelling case to be made.
So do you think he's out?
Oh, yeah, he's out. Okay. He wants to coach his sons.
Right.
So
Mark Stein, who we like, and speaking of Dallas, Mark lived in Dallas for a lot of
years. I saw him yesterday, yeah.
He mentioned
he didn't mention you.
Did he mention, did you talk to him about Cappy?
No, Cappy's name didn't bring up.
But he mentioned that the Juwan Howard thing may not be completely dead and that the Doc Rivers thing may not be completely dead.
Well, the Doc Rivers thing, I believe. I mean, Ramona and I are in the same camp. We talked about this, you know, a couple weeks ago. She says, I believe, said the same thing on the air too with you, John, which is that, you know, when
there's a poker game going on.
Yeah. When Daryl Morey said that, we're keeping Doc. That's more along the lines of, well, we just want the Lakers to give up compensation.
Do you think that's a real thing? You think the Doc is actually a live play for the Lakers? I mean, Mark Stein says, yeah, probably. What do you think?
I believe he is. I believe that there's smoke, there's too much smoke around Doc and the Lakers for it not to at least be somewhat true.
And George, no one in Doc's camp, including Doc, has said a word. Daryl's the only one who said anything, and that's weird. You know?
Yeah, but here's the thing, and this is just me gleaming things off of my time covering. Remember, I did two of those Philly games in the last round,
right?
And I just get the sense, and I had had that sense prior to being part of the series, but then I got to kind of see it, and I just don't think Doc loves James Harden, and we know that. And again, this is just me recklessly speculating. No one has told me this. And by the way, I also feel like James Harden isn't feeling Doc. Like, I just didn't get a sense from watching their relationship that I felt like, wow, those two guys are aligned. And we know that Daryl Morey is aligned with James Harden.
Oh, good, good. I wanted to change the subject. We'll have plenty of time to talk about the Laker coaching search. Can I have it for a second?
Yeah, take it away, Cappy.
Yes, I really want to hear, because I know you've talked about it a little bit earlier in the show. I really want to hear about your pals that were in over the course of the weekend, because first question is this. There was a lot of laughing, I suppose, you and all your college buddies.
So much fun. Yeah, catching up was great.
Okay, and how many total guys were there?
Five of us all together. So okay. Four friends flew in, and we took a house together.
Who's the first person that cried?
It was my friend Ben.
Really?
He got very sentimental about it, and he was talking about being around our college apartment, which was right located perfectly next to railroad tracks, and listening to Waylon Jennings. My friend Paul
Waylon
is a big country and Western guy. Big Hank Williams Jr., all that stuff. And Ben teared up and got choked up. And we all did because, you know, 35 years is a long-ass time.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Where do you rank amongst your friends of the five of you? Where do you rank in terms of financial success, 1 through 5?
Ooh.
I'm not answering that question. I have no idea. We did not swap bank statements.
Wait.
You had to know. You had to get a feel
for it. You know, though. Yeah, exactly. I'm with Ireland. You know.
You know, but I mean, who cares?
No.
Okay, listen. Let's do it this way. Kaplan cares.
Yeah,
hold on. Why do you care
how much my fraternity brothers made in life?
I'll tell you the follow-up. But go ahead, George. Go ahead. I'll tell you my follow-up.
So are you in – now, this is not – you know, since there's five of you. Yep. I'm going to make it a little – I'm not going to make it exactly the number, okay? So five would be 20%.
Yep.
So are you in the top 33%?
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
See, the reason I was going to ask this, though, Steve, and it's a serious question, actually, is because I figure you take five guys who haven't been together in 35 years.
Yep.
There's going to be a ton of laughing.
Yep.
There's probably going to be some crying along the way.
Ton of stoned and drinking and blasted.
Right. And then I figure that of the five of you, somebody may have made it big, and somebody could potentially be down on their luck. Somebody has a successful marriage. Somebody got divorced. Somebody's kids are awesome. Somebody's kids are all screwed up. I figure that in five people, there's probably got to be a lot of highs and a lot of lows.
So here's the thing, though. In this short, brief amount of time, I think most people are keeping whatever bad stuff has happened to themselves. Now, I will tell you that all four of those guys are on their first marriages, which I assume means they're going to stick. So there have been no divorces, which is pretty incredible.
That's cool. Interesting.
Wow. Yeah. They didn't need the dadvocates.
But it's fortunate for your friends.
Yeah, no,
yes,
it is.
Yeah.
Mason made an interesting observation about that, guys. He said that in the Midwest, marriages last longer. That in California, we treat marriage, for lack of a better word, more casually. You guys
agree.
Buy that?
I'll buy it. 100%. I will buy it. I will. I listen, and it's. I don't know if it's just the Midwest. I don't. Maybe it is just the Midwest, for all I know. But I do feel like in places like New York and South Florida and in California, I don't know, for whatever reason it is, I feel like more of my friends that live in places like Cleveland or Pittsburgh, they've been on their first marriage and they've not been divorced. And whereas so many of us who live in other kinds of places, I just can't decide, though. Is it the community I was raising my children in and the people I was around and the circumstances, or is it California versus, you know, the Midwest?
Yeah, I think it's the middle of the country. The middle of the country treats marriage differently, I think, than the coast. The one thing I will say, and this I said this earlier, but I'll say it again. Everybody was kind of exactly who they were 35 years ago. Like, when somebody would say something, I would say that, yeah, that's exactly what he would have said back then. It led me to believe that you kind of are who you are in life. Time passes. You get older. Your appearance changes, but you're kind of the same person.
Well,
at the
except
end of the day.
For you, though, that's the weirdest thing. Like back then, when you know those guys, you were straight. You were a Republican.
It's true.
Now you're like the opposite of both of those things.
Yeah,
and,
true.
Did any of these guys say to you, Steve, the whole time I knew you were gay? Did
no.
anybody say that?
No, not at all.
Did anybody?
Nobody
say,
would have known.
When I heard that you were gay, I was completely shocked.
No.
And floored.
In fact, it was never discussed. And the truth is, it's not that important. Juan did come around. Juan hung out with us a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think it just doesn't matter anymore. I mean, is it true that it just, to those guys, it made no difference?
I'll tell you this. I would have never pegged you as a frat guy to begin with.
Oh,
like,
really?
Ireland, 100%, I would have pegged as a frat guy. You know.
I was a hardcore frat. I was a vice president of the fraternity, president of the Interfraternity Council. I mean, I was all those things.
Wow.
Outstanding Greek man, stuff like that. Yeah. And it is true, and somewhere I've got a VHS tape, I did introduce President Reagan to a gigantic arena when I was a sophomore at Bowling Green. It would have been 1984, so he was running against Mondale, and I introduced him, and it was like a thrill of a lifetime meeting Reagan.
Mace, I'm going to tell you, you inspired me, and totally true story, seriously. I heard this whole thing and I thought to myself, gosh, I have not been together with my college buddies all in the same room together. So I'm going to Pittsburgh in mid-June. I've got something to do there. And so one of my friends lives there. Another friend coaches for the Cleveland Browns. He's coming in. And the fourth guy that we all lived with, he lives down in Florida. I'm like, dude, you're a pilot. You need to fly into Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And you need to hang out with us for a couple of days because we don't have these opportunities often enough. Everybody's schedule is so different. So I don't know if everybody else felt the same way that I did, but I was truly inspired by, I need to reconnect with my pals who I haven't seen in ages together.
Yeah, well, do they want to reconnect with you?
That's the question.
Well, but you're going to find out.
Is Kevin Harlan coming?
Yeah.
By the way, Dodgers up 1-0 in the first inning.
Good.
Hey, John, so you know about the Clay Thompson stuff. So I ran into Clay yesterday real quick before we go.
George the Jinx.
I ran into him yesterday at shoot around and I said, hey, so I guess I'm not a jinx. And his response, not yet.
Yeah, George, miraculously, if they lose, I somehow don't think it'll be your fault. Apparently, I'm the only one.
Yeah. Well, I told him. Well, I said the stat was at home. He's like, yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah. There you go.
All right.
Did you tell him that we all busted your chops because of that?
What's that?
Did you let him know that we were all busting your chops over it?
Oh yeah, I told him. Yeah.
All right, coming up, I got to rush to my car because I got to listen to the very first segment of the Sedano and Cap show. You know I love Sedano and Cappy. That's how I drive home every day. We're back tomorrow at 1, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.